come on, phone.
What's wrong?
Sprintern. This smartphone is not smart.
Then switch to Sprint and get a brilliant iPhone XR lease for just $15 a month.
$15 a month? Now that sounds smart.
Switch to Sprint and get the brilliant iPhone XR lease for only $15 a month. Visit a Sprint store, Sprint.com, or call 800-SPRINT-1.
$15 per month after 16.25 per month credit. Apply within 2 bills. Requires 18-month lease. If you cancel early, remaining balance due. Coverage and offer not available everywhere. Excludes tax, $3 activation fee, and restrictions apply.
All right, I'll see you Thursday.
Thursday night?
Okay. It's Thursday, Thursday's the day before Friday, the day after Wednesday, 2 days after Tuesday.
Thursday.
Because it's Wednesday.
Thursday.
Thursday.
Yeah, Thursday.
Thursday, I don't care about you. Thursday doesn't even start.
So sometime between now and Thursday, I've got to come up with a small fortune.
It's the gateway to the weekend. Day. Now, here's Bob and Sherry.
All right, so you know how you very often will bring in some interesting article about health and,
science.
Science and all that.
Facts.
Well, I'm taking over that
all
area.
Right, it's
I'm
all
taking
you,
that.
Baby.
I got some health news. I got some good health news, especially for the B.O.B. All right?
I'm ready.
They did a study and found that eating two burgers is better than eating one burger with a side of fries. Let me say that again. It's more healthy to eat two burgers than one burger with a side of fries.
What does that say about fries?
Nothing good.
But this is America, and here's what people heard. I should go ahead and have two burgers and fries.
That's what I heard.
That's what you heard.
That's what stopped me.
Because you're going to eat the fries right. and the both burgers.
Wasn't it Kanye in one of his tweets who said, French fries are the devil, yo?
Yeah.
It's true.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you, get some good ones in there. Just so delicious. But I lost weight not drinking soft drinks and not eating French fries.
You know, every woman listening right now just screamed and banged her head on the steering wheel. And here's why. It drives us crazy the way the men in our lives, whether they're the men we are married to or to you, go, I think I need to lose 40 pounds. Cut to, it's next Tuesday. He's not had any Dr. Pepper or fries. I'm down 40 pounds. We hate that. We're jealous of it. Our bodies don't work that way.
Don't you want us to try to be as youthful looking for you, for your pleasure?
Yes, but we want you to have to suffer to get there like we have to suffer to get there.
You know, we suffer in other ways. I'm just going
I'm not going to. You know, I'm going to give you that.
You know, I picked up my exercise routine a little bit, and it's not much of a routine. The daily burn and me and the dog out in the park. And so I don't know. Maybe I lost a pound or two. And she came over to me. She said, you need to start eating more. I went, what? You need to start eating more, man. I want to see a little bit more. And she's patting my stomach right
Kevin's
around there.
Kevin's really thin right now. We had to go get him. Every 8 years, he needs a new suit. We can't find, we lost
Sounds
the suit.
Right.
We just lost the suit.
The suit got gone.
Because he doesn't wear suits for work or anything, so we just need them, and it was time, he lost the suit. I think he lost it in Philly when we went up for a wedding, but anyway, needed a suit. So we go, and you know, with men's suits, it's not like women's clothes. You can't buy a suit off the rack. They always have to be altered in some way.
Mm-hmm.
So the lady that's measuring him said, she was great, her name was Tony. She's like from Long Island. She goes, ah, I can feel your ribs! And Kevin was like, are you saying I'm too skinny? And she and I looked at each other because we both knew what that meant. Yes, mm-hmm. You're too skinny.
Mm-hmm. Why is he so thin now?
Oh, probably for the same reason.
Physical
you
work.
Are.
He built you a house, woman. I'm sorry that he didn't fatten up while he built you a house by himself.
You know what? Because he stopped having a sausage biscuit for breakfast every day. And then he lost like 30 pounds. It's just ridiculous.
Well, he's always been thin, though.
Yeah, but he can gain weight. He goes through these weird things. He ate so much Halloween candy that he made himself sick. Like, you know how the dog will get into something eat to the point of sickness?
Right.
I bought the giant bag of Halloween candy, and we didn't get a single trick-or-treater. And I tried to buy things that Kevin would like in case we didn't get any trick-or-treaters, not intending for him to eat the 5-pound bag of mini Snickers in one sitting.
He hates waste.
He ate himself sick on Halloween candy.
See, I still have a kid in the house. So I bought the bag of Halloween candy, too. And we had 5 trick-or-treaters that came. But there's like, I don't know, 50 pieces in the bag, right? So I put it in the on the kitchen table. I went away for a day with the dog. I came back. Just the bag is there. Hampton is such a terrible criminal. If I'm going to eat 45 pieces of candy,
you're going to hide
in
the bag.
One day, I'm getting rid of the bag.
Yeah, that's Caramia.
I'm getting rid of the bag. It's evidence.
The only way that Caramia could be a worse criminal is if she marries Hampton and they're Bonnie and Clyde.
You know, that's exactly right.
Because that spree will last a minute.
That's exactly right.
So Kevin is in the process of eating enough Halloween candy to make himself physically sick. Like, woke up in the middle of the night sick from eating candy. Had stuffed all sorts of mini Starburst in his pocket. So I get home and they fall out of his pocket. As if you're ever like, if you need $5, some candy or a set of house keys, follow my husband around. His stuff just falls out of his pocket, right? So I get home from work the other day and I open the front door to let Sam out. And Sam is a little white dog. Sam's out and he's standing there under the tree doing his business. And I look and there's this weird pink blob, like, oozing out of his side. And my stomach did that thing that your stomach, like if you're not a wound nurse or a veterinarian or whatever, and you see somebody with an injury, you know how your stomach does that thing, right? Yeah. So my stomach did that thing. And Kevin came around the corner and I'm like, look at Sam. Has he been injured? Because if those are his internal organs, I'm going to die. And he kind of looks and he goes, no, I think that's a pink Starburst. Some bunch of Starburst had fallen out of Kevin's pockets.
Oh, and he
chewed the wrapper because I went in the house. Sam would pick up a Starburst. He would gnaw on it for a while. Right. And then he would walk away. And I guess he laid down.
And it stuck to him.
It stuck to his fur. I go in the house. There's bits of Starburst and Starburst wrappers. It's disgusting.
You know, just that term, wound nurse.
Bob, we are not cut out to be wound nurses.
I'm Bob Lacey. I'm a wound nurse.
I'm going to say two words to you that'll make you know you were not meant to be in healthcare. And those two words are wound vac. That's right.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a little vacuum machine that you attach to a wound.
Wow. No.
No.
Thank God we have people that can do that.
Even talking up aha.
Yeah.
Is better.
Is better.
Yeah. It's Bob and Sherry.
Audio clips, podcasting, and more at bobandsherry.com.
You still there, Lamar?
I am.
I'm glad because I want to ask you something. I just read this really interesting piece from Northwestern University, one of our great colleges in this country. And the bottom, I'm not going to get into the whole thing, but the bottom line is the key to happiness is choosing the right friends. Now, because of the way this one paints me, people don't think of me as having a lot of friends. They probably think of you as having a lot of friends.
Well, Lamar is way more extroverted than you, but you have friends.
I do have friends. Right.
Yeah.
But people would say, oh, I bet Lamar has a lot of friends.
He probably has more friends.
Not as many friends if we're listening to what Sherry says.
Well, do you not think that Lamar has more friends than you?
Probably. Yeah.
Regardless of what I say or don't say.
What is the key to becoming a friend of Lamar?
Being still and paying attention to me while I talk all the time.
You know, we're more alike than I thought.
Knowing exactly when to laugh and when to not interrupt. That works. Yeah. That works for me. That works. I mean, you know, I don't know, because I've got a wide variety. I have a wide variety of friends.
I bet you do have a wide variety of friends.
I do. I'm in a lot of wide variety of places and doing a lot of different things with all kinds of people.
And we've traveled enough with Lamar.
Here's the deal, Bob.
Yeah.
Here is the deal. I find pretty much everybody that I run into, I'm a little bit interested to know what the deal is. And if you're interested in somebody, they love to talk about, you know, they love for somebody to be interested in. And I'm generally interested when I see somebody, I go, what's his deal? What are they doing? What are they doing?
I ask the same words, but it sounds like this. What's his deal?
I don't want to know. We've traveled enough with Lamar to know that there is no one that Lamar will not talk to.
That's
for
true.
A length of time.
That's very, very true.
Like, you have to drag him away. Lamar, the guy's trying to pee. We need to get on the plane. Like, you have to drag him away from people.
I think to be my friend, you can be a little bit on the quirky side, but you can't be too weird.
No, because you don't like
because
weird people.
I don't like being around weird
people. You're uncomfortable with weird people.
Yeah, I'll take a little bit of the weird, but I can't take too much at all. Whereas I think Lamar could probably put up with the weird more than me.
I can put up a little, probably more than you, but I could, listen, I've got a limit too. I've got a limit. I mean, I do. And as I get older, I realize that I'm going to die one day and I've only got so many hours. So, I mean, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
so
no, I do. That's right.
I mean, if I'm going to spend some time, I really need you to bring a little something to the table here because I'm fortunate. I know a lot of different people and they're all pretty interesting in very, very, very many different ways. And I don't know. I mean, this is the truth. If I'm in line at the bank and I'm waiting and there's somebody in front of me and there's somebody behind me, if we're there for very long, I'm going to know something about both of those people.
And that's Bob's nightmare, that he'll be standing in line, and at the end of that experience, he'll know something about those people.
I know.
That's the difference between the two of you.
I know. What is it? It speaks poorly of me that I don't want to talk to both of these people who are sandwiching me.
Here's the difference between you and Lamar. Lamar is energized by it, and you're drained by it. That's the difference.
But why?
Because you're an introvert and he's an extrovert.
Yeah, that may be it.
Now, listen, Bob, I have some bad experiences. I mean, listen, everybody I talk to is not like, you know, yeah. I mean, it's I like,
it's a crapshoot.
30 or 40 seconds in, I'm like, oh my gosh, what have I done? But you got to take the chance.
I'm going to count that as a win for me.
Yeah.
And Lamar, you're Lamar's friend. And so that counts for something.
Right. That's exactly
That's right.
Right. Yeah,
yeah.
I would. All right.
Audio clips, podcasting, and more at bobandsherry.com.
So I was reading in the Wall Street Journal about a new book that just came out. It's called Insight. The name of the book is Insight. And it says there are three types of people. Those who have it, insight. Those who underestimate how much insight they have, and those who overestimate how much they have. And it basically comes down to, do you know how others see you? So how do you know how others see you if you don't have a lot of insight? Well, you have to do several things. Here's the first thing. Ask someone. Pick the right person for feedback. It cannot be a relative because they're going to be softer on you. So pick somebody who could analyze who you are and how you come across. But you have to keep them within boundaries. You can't write them a blank check because they could say something that would hurt your feelings. I don't know, like, be honest, Bob, your voice is so annoying, I want to vomit when I hear it.
They may say something that hurts your feelings anyway with a question like that.
They may. So, the whole thing is to evaluate your personality and how you come across. So you have to be specific about what you want. And then number two, pay more attention to people's reactions. If you have this long joke that goes on and on and on, and you're telling it all the time, and by the time you're through telling the joke, people are giving you the FL, the old fake laugh, or not laughing at all. You have to understand that you cannot be telling that joke just because you want eyes on you, right? But haven't you been around somebody that will do that?
Mm-hmm. Sure, yeah. I work in radio.
That's exactly right. Watch whether people treat you differently. Are they listening to you more or less, laughing more or less? Do they treat you differently than they do other people?
That's interesting.
Yeah.
You know what I'm wondering, though, as we're talking about this, if you are a person who's devoid of insight, you're probably not noticing that you're being treated differently than other people.
You're probably not. You're probably not.
That all by itself is interesting.
If you don't have any insight, then why would you go through doing this? Because you're oblivious to how people feel about you anyway, right?
Insight is it's very helpful because it helps you when you're going through a rough patch have perspective.
Yeah.
So that you don't feel like this is happening, this has always happened, this is always going to happen.
Yeah, right. Perform a friend audit. Again, family members do not count. Think about what you could do differently so that you have people in your life who would do anything for you. That's an interesting phrase, a friend audit.
Yeah.
Because haven't we all kept some people around who were just a little on the toxic side?
Or drains. They drain
you. I know. Again, family. And finally, create an imaginary therapist. Oh, I don't have to do that.
You're surrounded by them.
I got one at work, and I got one at home.
You're lucky. Some Americans have no access to mental health care, but you're just drowning in it.
I think drowning in it is a good way to put it.
Just drowning in the stuff.
I got you telling me, you know what's wrong with you?
You know who you are. You know how you are. You know the way you are.
You need to, you know what you need to be, Sherry? You need to be the kind of therapist. There are different types of therapists, right? Mm-hmm. There's the therapist, and you and I had her as our therapist at one time. We went individually. And she would stand for no foolishness.
Yes, she called you out. She was great at confrontation.
She'd just say, let's get right down to this. This is what you need to do. You need to stop this because that's stupid. And then there's the other one. Well, how are you feeling today, Bob? And you end up going there forever. Really? Well, how did that make you feel, Bob? Do you think they're both as effective?
Everybody needs something different. I have a friend who is really struggling. And so off to therapy we go. And he got a therapist who was like, well, how'd that make you feel?
Mm-hmm.
Well, tell me about that.
Mm-hmm.
And what he wanted was more direction. He wanted somebody to confront him and call him on stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And so he ended up not staying in therapy because he didn't feel like he was getting anything out of it.
Why didn't he change? If this was a person that was very soft, why didn't he find somebody that was hard?
Because he's in that downward spiral where it's such an effort just to get out of bed, much less to go get help. And now you got to find a new therapist. Because a therapeutic relationship is a relationship. So you have to find, not every therapist is going to be right for you, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you have to find it. And he just was so demoralized that he hasn't gone back.
I think one with strength, with really, really strong feelings, as long as they're, talented at what they do.
Well,
I think you cut through the chase.
You, like my other friend, benefit from therapeutic confrontation. Not everybody does. Some people can't handle it.
Is that right?
But then you know how you are.
Yeah. I know. Oh, I know.
Bob and Sherry.
Boy, I'd like to see the moron that talked you into this dump.
It's morons in the news.
Sometimes names are just fascinating. Our first story here is about a guy who was caught with 60 pounds of crunk. Crunk is also another name for meth, okay? That's what people who use meth sometimes call it, crunk. The guy who had the 60 pounds of crunk was a 46-year-old guy whose name is Stan Crunk. How is that possible? How is that possible? There's a 51-year-old woman whose name is Patricia O'Donnell, and she was busted in Hyannis, Massachusetts last Saturday night for drunk driving. The cops took her to jail, and they called a tow truck company to come on out and get her car. The tow truck company sent a 25-year-old driver named Brandon Fenton to get it, but it turned out he was also drunk, and he was busted for drunk driving. You wouldn't think that Hyannisport, Massachusetts would have a lot of drunks, would you?
Shocked.
A lot of people drinking an awful lot.
That's like the first time I've ever heard a story like that coming out of there.
I know.
Three women got together and stole $17,000 worth of yoga pants from Lululemon. So that's two pairs each.
Yeah, right.
In Fresno, California. the surveillance video, you see the women walking into the store and they're each holding tote bags, which they then begin cramming with yoga pants. And they were so brazen. One customer said, I froze. I didn't know what to do. I didn't know if there was anything I could do. The staff did not intervene and they let the women walk out. And these women are believed to be part of the infamous Lululemon bandit group that has stolen $145,000 worth of stuff from 13 stores in the Bay Area in 12 days.
You know what? It's wrong, obviously. It's stealing, but it's also brilliant. That's almost like walking into an Apple store. Those things cost so much. I know from my girls.
Well, and how brazen they were.
I know.
Yeah.
Now, on Sunday, a couple of people in their 60s in Palo Alto, California, were awakened in the middle of the night by a burglar in their house. He was a 17-year-old guy, and he'd cut through a screen to get into their house. And the reason he woke up the couple was he was out of data, and he wanted their Wi-Fi password. The couple called the police and they chased them out of the house. Police caught him a few minutes later and they connected him to another burglary the night before, where he also asked the people in the house if he could hop on their Wi-Fi. What has happened to our criminals that they'll break into our house now and just steal Wi-Fi?
This is the area of crime I fear my children may may follow.
They're about that age.
Seriously. Today's moron of the day is the most Florida man story in the history of Florida man story. Guy goes into a convenience store in Jacksonville to buy some beer, and he's carrying an alligator under one arm.
No.
And we have a 30-second security video of the guy with the live alligator.
I was going to say he's live.
Tucked under his arm as he walks into the convenience store, runs up and down the aisles till he finds the beer he's looking for. And at one point, he says, "Y'all ain't out of beer, are you?" And then he says to another fellow customer, "Is he taking that last bit of beer? You ain't taking the last bit of beer, are you?" Local wildlife authorities in Florida say they are investigating the incident. Because you're not supposed to, well, if you had any sense, you wouldn't.
So he was going to pay for the beer. He wasn't using the alligator as a weapon.
No.
He was just walking around with an alligator.
If you have any sense, you don't take an alligator and shop with it.
Yeah.
And Florida Fish and Game would rather you didn't touch or bother the alligators at all. If you would like to see today's moron of the day, text the word moron to 888-262-7437. We'll send it to your phone.
I was mentioning that I'm fascinated by some names. Here's another example. A 47-year-old guy in Storm Lake, Iowa, is facing harassment charges after he told a bunch of kids he was going to eat them earlier this month. I'm not going to give you his name right away. He walked up to a group of kids, and he said he wanted to season them with a bag of salt and then eat them. And then he chased them into an apartment complex. He made similar threats to a woman with her one-year-old baby. Police arrested him. They think alcohol was a factor. And his name, his full legal name is King Kong Chul. That's right.
His parents named him King Kong.
King Kong Chul.
And he wants to eat your baby.
Yep. You can't make this stuff up.
Why would you name your baby King Kong?
Why would you do that? Can you imagine what King Kong went through when he was going through school? And they you know, you have to stand up. All right, Tommy, Elizabeth, King Kong.
I'm thinking all that salt on a human, that's a lot of sodium.
Yeah,
that's not good for you.
No, that's true.
Hey,
too.
King Kong, we're talking hypertension, mister.
That's
okay.
Right. He's in jail.
Text the word moron to 888-262-7437.
So for the past 6 or 8 months, I've been taking vitamins from Care Of. I don't know if you know about Care Of. It is a vitamin delivery system, and it's so cool. By the way, I haven't had any colds at all. I've felt really, really good. I'm getting great sleep. And here's what they do. You take a quiz online, and they ask you about, you know, your lifestyle, how active you are, what you eat, so on. It's really fun. You learn a little bit about yourself. It takes about 5 minutes. And then they send you this really cool carton of vitamins, and it's filled with packets, and the vitamins are designed especially for you. So every day, all you do is open up the packet, and you're set to go.
And it's so easy. If you're like me, you periodically announce that you're going to take better care of yourself, and then you end up with like a dozen bottles of vitamins and stuff in the cabinet. And for the first couple of days, you do okay. And then before you know it, you're running late, and who has time to deal with all that? It's such a hassle. And they end up sitting there and sitting there, and then you know what you do. You throw them away and start over. With Care Of, that is all gone, because Care Of puts everything you need right, personalized, in the palm of your hand. And you can even take 50% off your first month of personalized Care Of vitamins when you go to takecareof.com and enter our promo code. Our promo code is Sherry50. That's S-H-E-R-I-50. That's takecareof.com and use the promo code Sherry50. That's 50% off your first month of personalized Care Of vitamins. You grab that packet and you're out the door and you're healthier. So easy. Takecareof.com. And once again, to get 50% off your first month of personalized vitamins, use the promo code Sherry50. Okay, back to the podcast.
Audio clips, podcasting, and more at bobandsherry.com.
Fans of True TV are also fans of our guest, Michael Carbonaro. He has a huge show called The Carbonaro Effect on True TV, which is not just comedy, but magic and magical comedy and comedic magic. And he joins us right now. Hey, Michael.
Good morning. How you doing, Sherry?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing great.
So how did True TV approach you? Because this is like every performer's dream, right? And go, hey, Michael, what would you think about having your own smash hit television show?
Oh, yeah. It's just that easy.
That's what I figured.
You're like asleep one day and they come through the chimney. like Santa Claus, these people, the networks. And then they just land on you and they offer you a TV show. It's a miracle. I was so happy to be that lucky.
So how did it come about? Because you've been working toward this for probably since you were about 7 years old, really?
Yeah, I agree. And I think I'm still figuring it out. I mean, what a weird thing. I'm a hidden camera. Wait, I'm a reality TV show hidden camera magician? Is that what we're saying?
you are crazy. All that. You are. I mean, it's a combination of a lot of things. Some of it is shocking when you watch it.
Yeah.
And some of it is hysterical. Very funny. I was watching one of your clips where I couldn't tell exactly where you were, Michael, but it looked like a chiropractor's office.
Okay.
You're in a box, and this woman, unbeknownst, she has no idea what's going on. Has a control where it's going to turn your neck a little bit to give you some relief, but she presses it and your head completely goes around in a circle and she just about passed out.
Yep. An accident at the chiropractor. she did. You know, there's a border there. You said it, Bob. You said it was like, it's hysterical, but yet shocking.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's a line to ride along because it is a very playful show. We're not just scaring people and, you know, it's very good spirited.
Right.
And I think that's a real tightrope. So you want to shock somebody, but you don't want to hurt their feelings or get them upset or anything. But you definitely get a rise out of them when you make them feel like they're accidentally responsible for twisting your neck around in a chiropractor's office.
You know, I didn't think of it that way, but that's exactly what you're doing. You're not mean spirited trying to, you know, put some sort of an image that they'll never get rid of the rest of their life. And yet you do go, whoa, I can't believe he did that.
Yeah. You know, and sometimes we think up a new prank and we have to make sure that the goal, like, for example, there was one prank we were going to do where I was going to go as a construction worker. And of course, being a hidden camera show, we get somebody who has no idea that this is about to happen. And they've been hired for the day to work along with me as a construction worker. And I'm going inside of a porta potty. And the original idea for the trick was that once I went in the porta potty, immediately a truck backed up over it. And it crushed it flat, and then suddenly I was driving the truck that crushed it over.
Wow.
And it sounded like a good trick, but then I thought to myself, oh my gosh, if we succeed in this, we've succeeded in this guy just witnessing a terrible accident.
That's right.
So we changed it so that it wasn't that the truck ran over the porta potty, but the porta potty accidentally got hoisted way up into the air by a crane. And suddenly I was driving the car that had the crane attached to it.
Yeah, yeah.
And that, and it made it bizarre. It made it shocking still, bizarre and magical, but without that, like, oh my goodness, you really...
That's better. Yeah, because what you were avoiding there was putting the image in this man's head of your horrible death. And that,
exactly.
Yeah, not
and
fun.
And that would be a horrible death, by the way.
Yes, it would, being crushed in a porta potty. I mean, what a way to go while you're going.
Yeah, right.
Michael, when I watch magic, whether it's your show or, you know, like David Copperfield or Penn and Teller Fool Us, when I watch magic...
Both of my favorites, by the way.
Oh, my God. Penn and Teller Fool Us is such a fun show. But when I'm watching magic, I think there are two kinds of audiences for it. The first kind that is me, where it's like, oh, man, that's amazing, and I'm rooting for magic. Right. I want you to do the impossible. And then there's the other person who's like, I know how he did that. Do you find that's true for you?
Absolutely. And you know what? Sherry, I get to play with that during the live show, because now, like you said, like the people at my live show versus the TV show, the people at the live show know that I'm a magician. You know, when I'm on TV doing prank show, they don't even know I'm a magician, so it's a different kind of pranking. But the people who come to the live show, I literally, in one of my effects in the live show, separate the audience between there's the believers and the non-believers of magic. And you cannot turn a non-believer into a believer.
You can't.
And oddly enough, you can't turn a believer into a non-believer. And then I show a trick on stage with someone in the audience that exemplifies that, and it's a real hoot.
Yeah. Do you have people when you're touring as you are now? We'll give all the information where you can find where Michael's performing near you. Do you find people who wait for you after the show to go, "Hey man, I know how you did that." Do those people, the non-believers, wait for you?
It's so funny you say that. You know, I have the same paranoia as that question, and luckily so far, no.
Oh, I'm
always
good.
Afraid they're out there like, "We got you," you know, and they're not. You know, and if they are, that's kind of their trip with it. You know, that's their experience. I get letters from families where, like, you know, some families are like, "We just sit around and we're laughing about how we don't know how you do it." And then other people will say, "We pause it and we argue together as a family what's, you know, how it's working and no, and rewinding." But the heart of those letters really is just like, the show is bringing people together.
Yeah.
Michael, I don't even
write a letter and tell me that. And it's a real beautiful thing to think that families, they're like, you know, I get a letter a lot that says, "Your show is the only show we can watch with our entire family."
Which is true in a lot of cases.
That's great.
I'll tell you, buddy, I don't even know how my car works. I'm not wasting one brain cell trying to solve your magic. I just want it to be magic.
Yep.
Right?
I love that.
Michael Carbonaro, the show is called The Carbonaro Effect. It's on True TV. And we're going to post all the links up at BobandSherry.com. We're going to call you again. Can we have you on the show again?
Absolutely.
Awesome.
And please come to any live show you guys want to come to. Give a ring and I will pull the pants off you. You come on down.
Terrific.
I haven't had that offer in a while, Michael. Thank you. It's MichaelCarbonaro.com, ladies. It's Bob and Sherry.
It's stuff you won't hear on the show. The Bob and Sherry Podcast on the Bob and Sherry app.
Hi, Karen.
Good morning. Good morning.
More than being with your husband.
What do you fantasize about?
What do you fantasize about?
My own place.
Your own place?
My own sanctuary. Just me.
So you don't necessarily want to be divorced. You just want your own place?
No. I love my family. I mean, it's almost 31 years we've been married. We've got 4 boys. And there's never a house big enough that I can have a place of my own that they cannot find me.
You know what you need to do? You need to get like a tiny house out in the back where they're not allowed.
But they can still find me. I'm on the property.
Well, honey, we can't put you in witness protection.
She's going to hide.
You want to...
Well, you know, I mean, it's just like, I can't go to my room and just relax or read or anything.
They always need something. Yeah, they always need something from you, don't they?
They do. You know, it's like, well, there's no clean towels. And I'm like, so?
You know,
I don't know how to run a washer.
I've always thought that one of the hardest things about being married is you don't get your own room. And I'm not talking about your own bedroom necessarily. You don't get your own room.
I mean, guys get a den, you know, what they call man cave or whatever. I mean, what about me? You know, I've done my job. I'm still working. I'm raising kids. I'm still cooking and doing this and doing that. Why can't I have a place to go that...
But Karen, look what you get.
Me.
You get to crawl into bed with the same man you've been with for 31 years and make sweet, passionate love.
Well, when I want to, that's fine, but...
That's selling it.
You want your own little space that they're not allowed to come into that can be however you want it to be, and how you leave it is how you find it.
Yes.
Yeah, I understand completely.
I got that. It's called my car.
After 31 years, it's your car.
My car.
Well, I always told my husband his truck is his office. His office at Corners instead of a corner office.
An office at Corners.
Good,
that's a good one.
That's a good one
there. Actually, I have my own place. I've got my own little office, and I have a TV room and a reading area that's all mine. And Mary, you know, set it up. That's the way it was. You know, we're a blended family, and it has worked out great. I hope you get that sometimes, Karen.
Well, I mean, at least I come to the chicken house. There's nobody here, you know, at least for an hour or two.
The what?
The chicken house.
So when
people say the old expression, "Ain't nobody here but us chickens, that applies to your life.
Karen, the chicken house, you either are on a farm or you run a whorehouse. Which one is it?
Farm.
A farm.
How many chickens are out in the chicken house?
She sounds disappointed.
There was a pause there. I thought, uh-oh.
She said, how many chickens do you have?
Right now, about just under 15,000.
Isn't it kind of, you know, smelly and uncomfortable in the chicken house?
Where I'm at, you know, is the egg room, so the chickens aren't in here. Now, I've got to go through the service area and up into where the birds are, but it's not that bad.
So you and your husband own the chicken farm?
Yes.
Wow. And are you out there now?
Yeah.
Could you go into the chicken area and, like, make them cluck or whatever they do?
Sure.
Oh, this is exciting.
All right, go ahead over there. What do you do to make them cluck so we can hear them?
Most general, they'll just do it on their own, or if I snap my fingers at them.
Let's hear some. A lot of clucking.
I got a knock, so I don't scare them.
That's fantastic. Where'd they go?
I think I scared them.
No, let's hear them some more.
Let's hear them some more. Hello? Hello? What happened to her? Where are the chickens? All right. Well, there they are. There's nobody here but us chickens.
I did hear the chickens, yeah.
Yeah, that's right. Okay.
That's exciting stuff. Well, Karen,
there's a lot of eggs to pick up in here.
Yeah. Good to know. Well, you've got 15,000 chickens.
Yeah, that's going to happen.
I'm sorry that the only time you can have any pieces in an egg room on a chicken farm, but appreciate
you
listening.
Get, right?
It's Bob and Sherry.
It's stuff you won't hear on the show. The Bob and Sherry Oddcast on the Bob and Sherry app. Get it now in iTunes Store or Google Play.
Guys, do you mind if we talk about raccoons for a minute? Because I'm very excited by some things I've just recently learned about raccoons.
No, I woke up this morning and I said, you know, we don't address raccoons and their lives enough.
I don't think, with the exception of that time, that the raccoon was living in your recycling bin.
I know.
And you would open the lid and it would look at you like, the hell out of here, right? I don't think we've really done enough recycling.
It was in the actual garbage. He wouldn't go in the recycling.
No one in your house will open that recycling
bin. That's exactly right.
Anyway, I've learned some stuff about raccoons that I think is so fun and I want to share. Okay.
I'm so glad you're doing this, because nothing holds audience like raccoons.
Raccoon talk. Yeah. It's a Bob and Sherry.
It's fantastic.
Exclusive. Did you know that the raccoon scientific name translates to washer dog? Because
really?
They wash their foods.
Oh, yeah, they do.
But can you guess which animal in the forest the raccoon is most closely related to?
Possum.
Do, 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 do.
Possum.
Do. Nope. Do, do, do.
The one that lives
do,
in the forest?
Do, do.
Squirrel.
Do, do. Nope. Do, 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 do.
Oh, I got it.
Do, do,
owl.
Do. Nope. Do. Do, 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 do. Oh, come on. You went to Roger
Fox.
Williams College? No.
Fox.
No.
They didn't. I took one science course. Earth science. They didn't
you
cover raccoons.
The raccoon curriculum.
Yeah.
Nobody knows what the raccoon's closest animal cousin is in the forest?
Beaver.
That's a very
That's
good,
a good guess,
guess, but it's not right.
Groundhog?
Nope. What is the animal who we always ask, does it crap in the woods?
A bear?
A bear. Raccoons are related to bears. Good job, Bob.
I'm proud of myself for picking up on that clue.
That was a good hit.
You know, that's the kind of clue picking up that you just take pride that, you know, you are an educated man going through the world.
That's why around here we call him Inspector Clouseau.
Yeah, that's right. Hey, if you ever do anything on the Pope, I'm ready.
Do you know that raccoons have 51 different vocalizations? You never hear of a raccoon making noise or talking, right?
I've heard them hiss.
Guess what they do? They purr like cats. Did you know that?
No.
Raccoons purred like cats?
No, no.
They can whistle. They growl. They scream. They whinny like horses. Mm-hmm. And of course they hiss.
They hiss,
you've heard them hiss.
Yeah.
Guess what president had a raccoon as a pet? It's a president that I don't think gets any love, any respect. Nobody knows anything about this president except for you. You are the only person I've ever known on this
Calvin
planet.
Calvin Coolidge.
Boom.
I was just going to say
really?
That.
You're the only
Silent
person I
Cal.
Know that knows anything about Calvin Coolidge. He had a pet raccoon. Do you know what its name was? It was Rebecca.
Hmm.
Feel educated this morning.
Did he have it in the White House?
He sure did.
I'll be darned.
Yeah. Where do raccoons rank on the mammal IQ scale?
I think they're up there.
Like, where would you place them? Cats, dogs, horses, pigs, monkeys, giraffes, elephants.
Right above horse.
They rank just above cats and just below monkeys. Raccoons are so smart, and their little raccoon hands are so nimble. Raccoons can unlace shoes, they can unlatch cages, and they can reach into your shirt pocket and lift out a dime.
I found a picture of Rebecca the raccoon.
Can we please post that? Because I think the people are going to want to see it.
Being held by Calvin Coolidge's wife, I guess that would be. Yeah.
I guess you were pretty much expecting to be bored silly by my raccoon facts.
I can't get enough of it.
You're pretty interesting,
yeah,
aren't you?
I know.
What would you like to know about a raccoon's foot? Because I'm going to tell you something.
Everything. I mean, you've got me so hooked here.
What raccoons can do with their feet is kind of amazing. They can rotate their back feet 180 degrees.
You're kidding.
They can do crazy stuff with their feet. Guess who the first known human to ever write a single word about a raccoon is? He's famous, by the way.
Paul McCartney.
Not a song. The first known instance of a human being writing anything about the existence of a raccoon. It's a famous human being, a historical figure.
It's not a song. Just something about it.
Like Da Vinci or somebody
like that. It's a human being who basically said, what in the bleep and bleep is that little masked bandit? At the first documented instance.
Did they have them in Europe, I'm wondering?
It's so exciting.
Davy Crockett.
No, but it's in America. It's in America. So exciting.
Jim Bowie.
Something Fenimore Cooper, that guy?
Christopher Columbus.
You're kidding.
Christopher Columbus.
Well, that makes sense, doesn't it?
But of all the things you knew Columbus was famous for.
Not raccoons.
You didn't know it was this.
No.
Hey, if you're a kid listening right now with like a school project to do, you're welcome.
Yeah, jump on the raccoon.
You are welcome.
Yeah.
All right. The word raccoon, the name raccoon comes from the Algonquin Indian word arakan, and it translates to he scratches with hands.
Hmm.
How fast can a raccoon run?
A raccoon can run 20 miles an hour.
You're close. You know what? I think you have a natural aptitude for
raccoonology. I love this. Can we do groundhog tomorrow?
15 miles an hour.
This period has just gone right by so quickly.
I will say that I think you surprised yourself and everyone else with how much natural talent you have for raccoonology.
I did. And you know what? I surprised myself by staying awake during 5 minutes of raccoon talk.
But look what you learned.
It's Bob and Sherry.
It's stuff you won't hear on the show. The Bob and Sherry Podcast on the Bob and Sherry app.
Hi, Steve.
Hi, how are you guys?
Good. So you were in a small county and you went before the judge.
Yeah, okay. Well, like, kind of a little bit of history on the judge. Mm. Like, this is how small the county was. Like, the judge also taught social studies at one point, like at the high school.
Wow.
But with the, like, the state laws and things like that, if he had to be able to teach in order to coach also. So he was the lineman coach.
Mm-hmm.
So he was actually my coach my freshman year.
Mm-hmm.
So so I get this ticket for underage drinking. And, you know, my buddy was also getting a ticket, and his was for speeding. Well, he was going to lose his license with this ticket because it was too many points on it, right? So,
Steve, how old were you when you got busted for the underage drinking?
Oh,
16?
That ticket? No, it was like 19 probably on that one. I was 18 when I got the ticket.
18? Okay.
Yeah.
Nice to know there's been numerous.
Multiple. But you can still keep track.
You know what? I could give you background because there's actually a ticket prior to that from the same judge that I also got out of.
What was that for?
Drinking. It was actually, it was titled a minor in possession while operating a motor vehicle. So it was like a step up from a minor in possession, a step down from a DUI.
So you're about to say the judge went really hard on you, but you've been in his court
you've
multiple
already been
times.
In his court. You're giving him you're giving him the high hard one by coming back in there. So what did he do?
So, okay, well, for which ticket? The first one or the second
one? The second one when he worked you over.
Okay, so, well, no, there was no working over. He says, okay, so we're at my buddy's owned a farm, right?
Yeah.
So we're taking in hogs up to the sale barn to get them sold. And so we're up there, and we're just kind of standing around. That's what people do when they do this. And we're watching things go by, and here comes this judge, and he kind of steps by, and he says, well, boys, how are you doing, you know, and kind of small talk. And then he says, you know, I noticed you guys got a ticket coming up here, you know, court date and stuff. And we said, yeah. And he's like, huh? Well, we'll see how it goes. Next thing he says is, well, boys, that's a mighty fine-looking, good-looking hog you got there, you know. and just going on and on and on about how good the hog looks, and then bringing up the ticket again. But, you know, like, I knew what he was hinting at, but my buddy wasn't getting it. So I, like, elbow him, like, come on, dude, let's leave. So we leave, go get a couple hogs, load them up, take them back up to the sale barn, have them shipped over to his house, and we get a phone call about a week before our court date from the whoever it is at the court that calls the people about these. She says, you know, well, you know, I saw your name here, but I can't figure out why. There's nothing in the file. There's nothing anywhere telling me why you would even have a court date. You know, do you have any idea what this is about? And I'm like, I've got no idea.
Steve?
And she said, okay.
You paid Steve, off the honey. Judge with a hog.
Yeah, I don't know what your cousin Bo was up to there in Hazard County, but Steve.
What was that?
Are you telling me that you basically stole two hogs from a hog farmer?
No, because it was his dad's farm. And actually, at this point in time, he was 18, and with their family, when he turned 18, he became a legal.
You bought the judge off with hogs.
You bought the judge. That's where he got the name Boss Hog.
Steve, you need to become a lawyer.
Oh, my God.
You know what? That was my whole life ambition, and then I got to college, and then I had to deal with one time, and I had paid him way too much money, and he didn't do crap for me, and so I changed my mind.
What did you end up becoming as a grown-up?
Right
other
now,
than
I'm
shifting and corrupt,
right
what
now,
else?
I'm actually pre-med. I went two total different directions.
Steve, wow. What is the matter with you? Because if I saw somebody, well, actually I did, who was going to do very little and get paid very well, I would have been attracted to that sort of job.
That's the
you
difference.
You know what I mean?
That's
yeah.
the difference.
Like, I'm standing here listening to the lawyer. Like, he's got the other guy that he's dealing with, his case. They're in the office, and I'm in the waiting room kind of thing. And here I hear the guy say, well, yeah, I killed the blank, but but she deserved it. And then I hear the lawyer say, I don't want you to hear, you know, I don't want to hear you say that. I don't.
Oh,
have
I get it. I get it. Yeah,
content.
You didn't want to dirty your hands.
So the judge, I'm guessing, either had a real spacious backyard or a hog farm of his own when you dropped these hogs by his place.
Yeah, he lives in the country, right?
Yeah, he did. Actually, yeah, when I was like 16, I used to buck bales for him and stuff.
You know, just the way you started, it sounded like some really cheesy television show like Dukes of Hazzard. The judge shows up, and he actually begins the conversation where you're going, well, boys, how you doing? You know what I mean? Anything like, well, boys, that's a mighty good-looking hog you got there.
Yeah, exactly.
I love a good pork chop when I can get one. Judge likes a good pork chop. Yes, he does.
This sounds like something from 100 years ago.
Buying
off the judge with a hog.
Would you like to stay out of prison? You ever been to prison, boys? It's not pretty. But that hog is pretty. And I got a sweet tooth for hog.
It's Bob and Sherry.
It's stuff you won't hear on the show. The Bob and Sherry Podcast on the Bob and Sherry app.
Hey, hi, Janet.
Hey, Janet.
Good morning. How are you guys?
Good morning. What's this about the boss?
Well, back in the day, this was about 30 years ago, first of all, I knew her socially. Our families knew each other. My brother dated her daughter for a while.
Mm-hmm.
And she was a regional vice president at a bank, and she was over most of the branches in this city that we lived in.
Right.
And I had experience, so I went. She got me a job at the bank not working for her, and I'd heard all these rumors then about her, and I'm like, oh, she's not that way. She's really nice because I knew her socially. She convinced me to come work for her, and then the tyrant came out, and everything I'd heard was true. For an example, one, I had just had my son. I had a nice picture. I worked in the customer service. I had put the picture up. She came and told me to take that down. The CEO didn't like pictures. So I had to take it down, but the lady sitting next to me had one up of her daughter, and I just kind of looked at it, and I thought, okay. So I took my picture down. Well, then the thing that really sent me over the edge, when you guys started talking about this, it was 30 years ago, but my blood still started to boil. I went on vacation, and my account was overdrawn by 3 cents while I was gone. Well, that did two things. If you're an employee and you work at a bank, you're not supposed to have overdrafts, so I went on that report. Plus, back in the day, you actually got overdraft charges every day your account was overdrawn.
3 cents.
One time.
3 cents. 3 pennies. Your account was over by 3 pennies.
3 pennies.
And what was the daily fee for being over by 3 pennies?
I think it was, at that time, $15.
Every day.
Every day.
What a ripoff.
What a racket.
And my friends who worked for her and knew I was overdrawn because they worked the overdraft account notice. They were petrified, so petrified of her that they wouldn't go put money in my account. And I had them coming up to me going, I was so afraid if I went and put a nickel in your account, she would find out.
So everybody knew at the bank what your account was?
Yeah, well, if you worked at the bank and you worked for her, we got the overdraft notice. The reports of all the overdrafts came off so that they could say, yes, pay that one, or no, don't pay that one, send it back, or whatever.
But Bob is saying that that's kind of an invasion of your privacy.
Wasn't it really an invasion of your privacy? That's your personal checking account.
Well, not every, and even this was 30 years ago, and they were hard printed. So not everybody, but everybody in that branch that I worked at.
No, but it was discouraged. I mean, you would think that they would encourage it because they're making, I mean, these days, that's a financial boon for banks.
But I went to work for our president, and I walked in his office the first time, and there were wall-to-wall pictures. I'm kidding. From the ceiling to the floor, there were pictures of his family up everywhere.
This was the same guy that she told you didn't like family pictures.
Yes. And when she started her fall from grace, people started making appointments with the upper management after work hours so they wouldn't know, and she became just the supervisor of one of the lowest branches that we had.
So she fell down the ladder.
She fell down the ladder. But people were so afraid of her, they wouldn't even go put a nickel in my account.
So after you were on vacation for like 5 days, and it was $15 a day every day you were gone?
Yep. For 3 cents. And I knew her since I was like 10.
It just goes to show you that you can think you know a person, but until money and power and sex get involved in a relationship, you really don't know who you're dealing with. And you had money and power. So you had two of the three in there.
Cruel, because my sister has always been, she's always fought a weight issue, always. And she would just say things like, you know, I just don't understand. She's got a, you know, beautiful face. I just don't get it. And her daughter was always so thin and everything. And my sister ran into her about 5 years ago, and she said, she makes me look thin now.
Can I just say, one of the things I hate about the expression, oh, but she has such a pretty face.
Okay.
Here's what is implied in that statement. If she were unattractive, go ahead and be fat. It's a complete write-off.
But she has a chance for some sort of small happiness. That's true.
Yeah. She has such a pretty
face. This woman was just wicked. Mm. And when I left working for her, and they called me in, the CEO called me into his office one day, and when things started unraveling for her, and he said, what is it like? You worked for her. And I told him about the pictures, and he just kind of looked on his walls, and I said, exactly.
Did she have kids herself? Was she married?
She did. She had two kids. She had two kids. They were grown. They lived on the same street as her.
Yeah. So she wasn't anti-kid or anything.
There's no accounting for crazy.
Yeah.
It was. I mean, because we were out in the receptionist, in the lobby of the main branch of the bank. There were two of us in this little area where, you know, customers could come in and sit down and talk to you about their accounts or open new accounts. And the other woman who sat next to me had a picture up of her kid.
Well, anyway, it was just you.
This was 30 years ago, huh?
26 years ago, 26. Yeah.
You know what I love, ladies, listen to me. You know what I love about women? Y'all let stuff go. You know,
we do. I don't care.
You guys started talking about it.
And now she's
I see.
Mad again.
Okay. Now, it's my fault. Oh, it's my fault. Is Janet?
It's always your fault, Bob.
Yeah. Tell me about it, baby.
Janet, thanks for listening. Have a good day.
Bye, Janet.
You too. Bye-bye.
It's Bob and Sherry.
It's stuff you won't hear on the show. The Bob and Sherry podcast on the Bob and Sherry app.
So maybe it's true that yoga pants are some lust crazed magnet for filthiness. Who knows? I mean, I'm swearing to walk the dog, but there are other things, right? That you look at them, you see them. You see some guy, you know, in those slouchy jeans that hang just right. You see a woman in a certain kind of dress, and it fills you with insane, lusty craziness. That's what we're talking about in the chat room today at 888-B-O-B-S-H-E-R-I. Let's go to Steve.
Hey, Steve.
Oh, yo.
Steve-O, come on in here. What's going on?
Well, I'll tell you what, I'm fixing to bait the old ugly stick here on you, Bob, but I got to pull out some freaky stuff here now. I just love to see a pretty woman with some red painted toes.
Those are what I have right now, Steve.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, I
got a picture, Cherry, as being a red toe painted wear.
You know I am.
Let me see your toes. I'll describe them to Steve.
I'm in
Oh, you have boots
It's on. January.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Now, I'll tell you what. Now, you find a woman in January starts red painted toes. Now, that's a sexy woman right there.
Right.
I'm looking
right
at her.
Right here, right now,
I
baby.
Wish you would love being in this room right now, Steve. I ain't kidding you.
Well, I'll tell you what. I wouldn't know what to do. I declare.
That's my, oh, my goodness. Well, he declares.
He's like a cowboy.
There's just something about it. Now, Bob, now you got to agree with me now. Come on.
Yeah, I totally.
Favorite.
My wife, when my
now,
wife paints her,
a champagne pink might do it, but them red fire colored red. Now that's just the icing on top of the cake there. Now
you know why, Steve? Because it's the classic. You know, you'll experiment with other colors, but your red, your true crimson.
Absolutely,
yeah, that's right.
It's elegant. It's sexy. It says sexy without you having to say not a word out of your mouth.
Yeah. You know, Steve.
I don't get in all this black and this gothic stuff. That's just taking overboard.
Yeah.
But a nice set of red. I'm telling you, a woman that takes care of her feet. Now, that's a classy woman right there.
There you go. Yeah. I'm kind of surprised. I don't know why that you kind of know what was it? Champagne pink.
Now, you know, it just depends. Now, that's more of a Valentine cover color, what I call that right there, Bob. Uh-huh.
How about
more of a Valentine? You know.
Yeah. How about a woman with like she's done her toes in red, but then she has them painted with like a little character or something on them? Do you like that kind of look?
You know, that's getting into that new age stuff. You know, now I do like the white tips. Now that's French. Yeah. Now that does look good also. And that's a very clean, sleek lined look.
Steve likes the classic.
Car, but we are back on feet, right?
Yeah. Steve likes the classics.
He does. He does.
Do you like Do you like when a woman is like dressed maybe fairly conservatively, you know, simple black dress or whatever, some really great heels, but they're peep toes, and you get a little flash of that crimson? Is that what you like, Steve?
That's pretty good. But I'm going to set up the all-time all-American
please
male
do
fantasy right here.
Please do.
Bring it on,
when
Steve.
When you got your woman sitting on the couch, her hair is half messed up. She's not paying no attention about what she looks like. She's sitting there with some cut-off shorts, or let's just say some shorts that she just lounges around the house in, and she's wearing your favorite sweater, and she don't notice she's beautiful, and you get a glimpse of them toes, and I'm going to tell you that right there, is that's a married woman, because somebody's going to snatch her up.
There you go.
That's beautiful.
That was well done, Steve.
Well done.
Well
now,
done.
Steve, yourself, let's talk about Steve for a minute, because the women are listening to this, and they're going, I love this guy, and he sounds like
they're
a
going,
cowboy.
I want some of that.
What do you wear that you think attracts the ladies?
You know, Bob, I've always been the type to try to, you know, just be clean cut, always keep my hair tight. I'm a stickler. I've always got to have my clothes ironed. You know, I'm not a neat freak.
Right.
But I always like to be presentable, and I always, no matter where I'm going, if it's just to pump some gas, I always got to put a little bit of cologne on. Not much, just a little bit.
Yep, he's thoughtful. That's what this guy is. He's thoughtful, and he knows.
I don't like it to be overbearing. You know, I don't like it to hit it in the, you know, oh, my gosh, here comes Steve.
Here comes Steve.
Like just that little subtleness, you know.
What kind of cologne?
Goes a long way.
Yes. I think Steve is right, the subtle thing. You don't want to leave the smell of Steve lingering in every room you've
been in.
Absolutely. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I'll tell you, the best fragrance that I've found thus far is by Abercrombie, and it's called Fierce.
Fierce.
And I'll tell you that right, Fierce. It's Abercrombie, and I'll tell you, that stuff is the bomb's bomb. It's just a good smell. You know, it's not overbearing. It's just a good, clean smell. It does the job without having to do the job.
You know, you are a man of surprises, because when I think of, I'm just listening to your voice and I think of Abercrombie, all I see is Steve going in there and slapping the crap out of one of those bare-chested male models.
This is why it's important not to judge, because
you wouldn't
have picked Steve for a guy that wore Abercrombie.
Yeah, that's right.
Well,
Steve,
thank you much. I tell you, you know, first impressions go a long way.
Amen.
You know, just a good, clean smell, especially, you know, a good perfume on a woman. It's a wonderful thing. You know, God bless America.
God bless America, Steve. Thank you. So nice to meet you. Have a great day today.
God bless
you.
Good afternoon and good morning to you.
Take care.
See, why doesn't the rest of the world love us?
They don't know us.
They don't
know us. If they knew us.
Yeah.
If they knew Steve, they would love us.
He should be an ambassador. It's Bob and Sherry.
It's stuff you won't hear on the show. The Bob and Sherry Podcast on the Bob and Sherry app.
Sean, what you jealous about?
I get jealous when people have new cell phones.
New cell phones?
Yes.
Ooh, do you have one of those ancient flip phones?
No, I just got the iPhone 6 Plus, but I hate when people get new cell phones. I get really jealous.
Oh, because you want to have all the newest phones first.
Well, I don't know. I saved the box to my phone, so I'll put it back in there and open it back up so it'll feel new. But I have iPhone 6 and the family has Droid, so they go through phones more than I do. And when they get a new phone, I get real jealous.
LaShawn, does that are you able to fool yourself pretty good with that, putting the phone in the box then opening it up and pretending it's new?
I do it. I take a deep breath and it just feels amazing. I have to take the auto box off because it doesn't fit.
LaShawn, what is the matter with you? You have a brand new phone that's the size of a briefcase that can do everything from banking to watch movies on, and you're jealous of somebody's got like maybe two apps on their other phone? I mean, this is an amazing thing that you own.
I know, but I just don't like to see other people get new cell phones.
Where
I don't know why.
You know, cut them out of your life.
You know what? This is so specific and interesting. Why do you think this is, Sean? LaShawn?
I just don't want them to have that same new feeling that I get. I just feel jealous. It's almost like when you see when you're a kid and you see kids get new things, you get jealous. I just get jealous.
So it's not that you feel good. Others also must feel terrible.
Well, you have found your show.
That's why she's a listener. And with a name like LaShawn on St. Patrick's Day, it's perfect.
So I have a question. Do you feel this way about other things like new clothes or new cars or new boyfriends or anything other than phones?
That's when your girlfriend gets a new boyfriend, are you jealous?
No, I get really jealous when someone has my hair color.
What color hair do you have?
I'm black, but I keep it kind of honey bun and natural. But a guy sent me a picture, and he's white, and he has black hair color, my color, and said, "Look, I'm coloring my hair your color." And I don't want to talk to him anymore.
LaShawn, you are the most interesting person I've run across in a while.
I never want to let
you
go.
So much.
Can I tell you, I love that look. I love when African-American women dye their hair that honey, tawny, golden blonde. I love that look. How long you been doing
it's
that?
Good and it's mad. It's for about 10 years, but even now at my new job, women come in with my hair color. I'm like, this is my hair. Don't do that.
Okay, so your hair and your phone, and these are two tough categories because almost everybody has hair, and almost everybody has a phone. What else are you weirdly jealous of?
I think that's about it. I'm an artist. And I do pottery, and I don't like it when people's work looks better than mine.
Yeah.
Okay, fair enough. Yeah, fair enough.
That's about it.
Are you a married or a single person?
I'm married. I've been married for 21 years.
So you never had the desire to, like, swap out and get the latest model of a husband?
Never.
Well, that's good.
That is.
That's good.
LaShawn, I want you today, if you have a moment, get that great big old phone out, take a picture of yourself, and send it to us, will you?
I sure will.
We'll post you on our Facebook so people will understand what hair they can't have.
Please.
There you go. There you go. Done.
She's not asking for much, people.
LaShawn, happy St. Patrick's
Day. Bye, LaShawn.
888-BOB-SHERI 888-262-7437. Don't you love that combination? I think that's so pretty together.
Yeah.
Dee Dee's with us next. We're feeling Oh the Green. And
we got to do it real quick here.
Well, you want to make her? No, let's make
you
her wait.
Hang on to her?
Hang on, DD. Hang on.
All right.
We don't want to rush you. What or who are you jealous of? What do they have? What do they do? What do they get? That if you're just going to be honest, you really wish you had. Just really envious.
I'd like to have inherited wealth.
Oh, I'm very
Wouldn't
jealous
nice?
Of those people. But they don't
Wouldn't
turn
that be
out.
Nice?
They don't turn out
so
good.
Some of them do.
No, they don't.
You only hear about the bad ones. Some of them just really enjoying their lives.
No, I don't think so. You're better off.
Gandhi says, wealth without work is bad for the soul.
Absolutely. Of course, work without wealth is no party either.
Did he say that too?
No, I just threw that in.
Threw that in there.
I threw that one in.
Oh, I see. It's Bob and Sherry.
It's stuff you won't hear on the show. The Bob and Sherry Podcast on the Bob and Sherry app.
Hi, Tracy.
Good morning.
How you doing, Tracy?
Tracy, I can't believe Todd says that you called up and you said you knew the honeymoon was over on your honeymoon.
On my honeymoon, we had a wonderful honeymoon in Europe. We were on our way on a train from Paris to Switzerland, and the lady comes by with the cart with little snacks, and he says, "Do you want anything?" And I said, "No." And he bought a Toblerone. And he opens up his Toblerone. It looks delicious. And I say, "May I have a triangle of your Toblerone?" And he bangs.
That's, what is that, chocolate
it's
candy?
It's a candy bar.
It's
yeah.
a candy bar, right.
Candy bar.
Okay.
It's made in Switzerland. It's absolutely delicious. And it comes in like a little triangle.
Tracy, I've never talked to you before. Can I guess what happened?
He said you should have bought your own.
You should have bought your own. He said
No, not even that. He banged his fist on the tray in front of him and said, "I knew you were going to do that." And I said to him, "I had been your wife for 1 week, and you can't give me a triangle of Toblerone."
Oh.
What happened then?
I'm trying to think as I was on hold what I remember happening. I think I had more than one triangle, that's for sure. But we had been happily married for 12 years. I adore him, and every Valentine's Day I buy him a big box of Toblerone.
I love that about women. They never forget.
Did you hear what she said? I had more than one triangle, that's for sure.
Bet you
well, you
did.
had to teach him a lesson early, right?
Well, you know, it really, I think he realized how wrong he is.
Yeah, there'd be another triangle he wouldn't be getting. I'm sorry.
Oh, my.
I'm sorry.
Clearly Tracy, the honeymoon's over for this one, too.
So, Tracy, you still love each other.
Adore each other. Married, going on 11 years and very,
wonderful.
Very happy.
Wonderful. And what a beautiful honeymoon to be in that part of the world.
Yeah, we went to London, then spent a few days there, took a train to Paris, spent a few days there, went to Switzerland, spent a few days there.
Wow, how romantic and exotic.
That is really fantastic.
Well, the story on that was I wanted to have a big reception for the wedding. He said, "Well, I was thinking we could either do that or we could go to Europe." And I said, "Okay, Oreos and Hawaiian punch at the reception. I'm going to Europe."
Yeah, you made the right call.
I admire you. Not every woman would do that. I so think you made the right call.
Oh, I know I did.
So you had a very, what kind of a wedding was it actually? Was it at the church, reception in the church or something?
Yeah, daddy's a pastor, so we had...
Oh, your daddy's a pastor? Sorry I made that other comment. All right. Yeah. Okay, I don't know why I do these things. You know, I try to be edgy.
You always regret them.
I just try to be edgy. Other guys can be edgy on the air, but you guys say, "Oh, he's a rebel." I do this, I get a minister's daughter. I'm so tired of apologizing this morning. Is there anybody else I need to apologize? Let's clear the phones. Who do I need to apologize to?
Don't ask. They'll start calling.
Oh, they will? Yeah. Never mind. We'll do it another day. We'll promote it.
I love you, Bob. You can't do anything wrong. I love you.
Tracy, thank you, honey. And have a great day today.
You do the same.
All right. Bye.
Ooh, that one sounded just a tiny bit patronizing. You do. Here's what it sounded like.
I know.
You do the same. Not that will ever happen. Let's see what Tanya says. Tanya, when did the honeymoon end?
2 months after we were married, it was over. I was like, okay.
Could you speak up?
After I married you? Because we only knew each other 6 months.
You're fading in and out, Tanya, and I want to hear every word.
Can you speak directly into your phone piece there?
Okay. We only knew each other 6 months. Uh-huh. And the wine and then the dining and the flowers. I thought that he was the best guy ever, but...
Yeah.
And we married. 2 months after, I hated him. I mean, I hated his ways. I didn't hate him, but I don't like him. You know, we're still together now after 15 years.
You've hated him
14 months, 14 years and 10 months.
Yeah, we got two kids, so, you know.
Do you still hate his ways, or have you come to love his ways?
No, I still hate his ways. I love my kids. Let me reword that. I hate his ways, but I love him like a friend, like you love a friend.
Uh-huh.
But I don't like him. You understand?
So how have you managed to keep it together for 15 years?
My kids.
How do you manage like the whole intimacy side of things?
Oh, it's just like, I mean, don't get me wrong. It's okay. But if I had to choose not, I wouldn't.
You kind of grit your teeth.
Yeah.
Mm. Wow. Yeah. Wow.
It's been crazy.
I admire you, Tanya, in a lot of ways because for your children, you want to stay together. But
yeah.
is there no way that he can? What are his ways?
Okay, when we first married, he thought he could take his clothes off and drop them anywhere he thought when he come home from work.
Oh yeah.
No, I'm not your mom.
Right.
Okay, we went through that, and then he is like a total a-hole. He is the type of person, my own mama don't even like him now, and she's a Christian woman. She loves everybody, but she don't like him.
She doesn't like your husband, no.
No.
Because he's a total a-hole.
He's a narcissist, he's a control freak, he's all of the above. But I mean, I don't know, he's good to his kids, so I mean, he's good to me, but I just don't like him.
And wow, this
is there any chance he's listening right now?
I hope not.
But this probably wouldn't come as news, would it?
He probably knows. He knows. We separated 3 years, and the only reason why we got back together was for the kids.
Yeah.
You're a remarkable woman, Tanya. You are.
But he's got a job, though, right? He brings in the money, right?
I make more than him. I got nothing
for this guy. I give up.
I give up on him, too. I mean,
well, Tanya, good luck to you.
Wow. Chat room.
14 years plus.
It's Bob and Sherry.
Max sent me a link to an article, and the headline was 7 Strange Questions to Help You Find Your Life Purpose. And I love that kind of stuff, as you know. So I'm like reading it. I'm like, wow, these are really good questions. And this is what they should do like the last month of your senior year in high school with you, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And then I got to the 7th question, and I was able to answer it immediately, and my answer made me want to throw up and then cry.
What was it?
Here's the 7th question. If you knew you were going to die 1 year from today, what would you do right now?
Mm.
And without even pausing to hesitate, I thought to myself, I would roll down my window and throw my phone out and keep driving. And I wanted to throw up and cry because the level of phone addiction and the amount of time I spend on my phone, mostly working, has completely gotten nuts. And I realize that there are all sorts of things that I would rather be doing than answering email on my phone.
Yeah.
And that if I didn't have my phone in my hand, I wouldn't know. I just got an email that needed to be answered.
Right.
But my first thought immediately was phone's gone. I'm not touching it for this last year.
Gene Shepherd, who wrote Christmas Story, once said in one of his books, there are two types of people in the world. The first type, they're both notified there's going to be an atomic bomb that's going to be dropped on us. The first group sets up a place to view it. They know where it's coming. They get some champagne. They sit there and say, well, it's been a good ride. We're going out. The other group just is wringing their hands and crying constantly.
I wouldn't want to do that. I mean, if I knew, all right, this is it. In 1 year, boom, you're gone. Phone out the window, not looking back on it. I'm not going to another meeting. Not one. Not even the ghost of another meeting. And I'm going to stop trying to clean out my junk drawer. They can
welcome,
bury me with
by it. By the way, welcome this morning too. It is the end.
But isn't that an interesting thing to think about? Yeah. What would you do right now if you had that news?
I hate to think about things like this. You know that. I mean, you know me well enough to think.
My phone's going. It's out.
I think the phone going would be a minor thing. I think I would just be reflecting immediately on, oh man, what do I want to do? How am I going to present myself to my children, my wife, my friends, the world? How am I going to get through this without being just this massive
ball of anxious misery?
Ball of anxious misery.
Yeah. Well, the second part of that question is, how would you like to be remembered? And these are the 7 strange questions to help you find your true life purpose. And so that made me think, like, if I knew that this was happening and I was going to throw my phone out my window, why not throw the phone out the window now? Well, because like everyone else who works for a living, I can't throw my phone out the window now.
Right.
Can't do it. Would like to, because I know that that's like a giant time suck. You know what one of the other questions was? And this one you'll like better because it's not existential. What is your favorite flavor of sandwich? Because you're going to get used to eating it as an adult.
What's my favorite flavor of it?
Yep. And you have to figure out.
Of my having to eat it.
Yeah. Figure out what it is, because what you want to do is you want to aim. If that's your favorite way to do it, aim your life toward that.
Uh-huh.
And away from your least favorite flavor of it.
Well, I like it to be a small plate.
Well, everything involves aggravation and sacrifice, right?
What's my favorite?
Let me give you an example.
I have a favorite example of that?
In the article, he says, here's the sticky truth about life they don't tell you in high school. Everything sucks some of the time. That sounds incredibly pessimistic, but it's actually a liberating idea. Because you, once you face that, then you can sort of begin to focus. He said, if you want to be a brilliant tech entrepreneur, but you can't handle failure, you're not going to make it very far.
That's very true.
If you want to be an artist or an actor, but you're not willing to be rejected hundreds, if not thousands of times, then you're done before you start. If you want to be a courtroom lawyer, but you can't stand an 80-hour work week, bad news, you're not going to make it. What can you handle? Can you stay up all night coding? Can you put off having a family? Are you able to have people laugh and laugh and laugh and say no to you a million times? If the answer is no, then you need to stay out of show business, right? Yeah. You need to stay out of Silicon Valley.
Yeah, right. You know, what's interesting.
You got to pick the one you like the best.
Right. You know what's interesting about accepting the fact that you're going to have a lot of bad stuff, you know, dominating your life or irritating, maybe not bad, but really irritating stuff dominating your life. When you get a day or two where none of that is there, it's such a gift. You just feel so good. You've already accepted that this stuff is going to happen.
That's what he said. It's liberating.
Yeah, it's freeing. It's freeing. I've been trying, honest to God, I've been trying to do that because I've had so many appointments and so many things that I've had to do for people. And I would get up and I'd go, oh, I got to do that. And I try to reset myself and say, but you know, you're lucky that you're able to do that. Suppose you weren't able to go to the dentist.
And it's not going to take 12 hours.
Right.
You'll be in and out in an hour or so,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, that's right. I'm trying to, God, you know, you just pick up your parents' way of being so easily. And I can find myself when I'm negative about, oh, I got to do it. I know just where it comes
from. You sound like your dad.
You sound like my father, you know, and I don't want to.
You know, you are so right about that because sometimes, like, I'll get up in the middle of the night and head into the kitchen and cook meth, and I'm like, where's this coming from?
See that?
From?
Yeah,
it's
exactly.
Daddy.
It's not your fault.
I'll tell you another one of these strange questions that is so interesting to think about next. It's Bob and Sherry.
Get the free Bob and Sherry app and instantly get the podcast, the Oddcast, and Bob and Sherry Fun Size.
So Max had sent me a link to this article called 7 Strange Questions to Help You Find Your Life Purpose. And I cannot wait to make my kids read this because there's a lot of really like powerful wisdom in there. One of the questions that just knocked me back was, what is true about you today that would make your 8-year-old self cry?
Oh, wow. That's a little on the rough side, actually.
Not necessarily. Like, maybe your 8-year-old self had a dream. Okay, it could be a gut punch. If your 8-year-old self had a dream that you just never chased because you never thought, you just didn't believe enough in yourself or you didn't take rejection well. In the article, he says, my 8-year-old self wanted to be a writer. And my 8-year-old self would say to my 20-year-old self, how come you don't write anymore? And your 20-year-old self says, because I'm not very good at it. And your 8-year-old self doesn't understand that because your 8-year-old self believes anything's possible.
Anything is possible, yeah.
So what's something that your 8-year-old self would be not happy about today?
I don't know, but my 12-year-old self would be very unhappy that I didn't end up with a fabulous apartment in New York City and just babes everywhere.
Yeah, but your 16-year-old self is looking at your wife and going, high five, Bob. So it's not all bad.
Let me see. Well, you know, I've had tragedy in my life. I'm sure that would come into it. And I've been married more than once. I don't know if an 8-year-old can adapt to that sort of thing. See, the 8-year-old thing, I mean, I didn't become a cowboy. Listen, you know, I mean, 8 is pretty young.
My 8-year-old self grew up with my parents. My 8-year-old self can't believe I got married at all.
Right.
Much less this many times. Yeah, my 8-year-old self is impressed by my optimism.
I think it should be bumped up to like 11 or 12-year-old self.
It's tough to know what, I can't remember what it was I thought when I was 8 years old.
When I was 8 years old, I informed my parents that when I grew up, I was going to rescue unwanted cats and build a shelter called Pussy Haven. And today, I'm pretty much kind of living that.
Yeah,
so my 8-year-old self is very pleased.
Yeah, very, very pleased.
True. Now, my husband's 8-year-old self is punching him in the face because he can't believe he's there with me.
Right, right. Yeah, I thought I'd be a cowboy. I thought I'd live somewhere like somewhere in a ranch in Arizona. Probably.
That just seems so like not anything.
Yeah, I know. It's totally not me. I know. But you see cowboys on TV, you know.
And you go, yeah, that looks pretty good. I mean, I had the horse. I told you this. I had the horse picked out, the black and white Pinto horse.
The black hat. How about you, Todd? What would your 8-year-old self be kind of disappointed about?
Man, that's as far as being an adult now.
Yeah.
Ooh,
hey, you work with us, okay?
Yeah. I was trying not to say that, but I figured you guys would clue in.
My 8-year-old self is like lots of cats, eats cake anytime she wants. Winning. Yeah.
I think my 8-year-old self would be more mad at my parents going, wow, look at the gene for athleticism in the family. How did it skip me?
Oh, but
you were a good ball player.
You were a good ball player. Your son is a good, really good ball
player. He's a really good player. I was really good until my dad traded me to the other team for a bag of balls and an extra bat. That's, you know.
Yeah. Hey, you weren't the only one in your family who went to the other team.
Twice. Hey, that's a lot of free agency there.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Walk tall, my friend. Walk tall.
You need to add that to the Howler family crest. Latin for the other team. Well, you know what? I'll go ahead and post this. Thank you for sending that to me, Max, because that was really interesting. And there's other questions. It'll make you think. And it's the sort of thing that they really should teach in the last semester of high school. I'll post this up on our Facebook.
Why don't they? Why don't they teach some of this stuff?
Why don't they teach that? Why don't they teach how does the stock market work? Why don't they teach how do you buy a house?
That's
you
true.
Know?
All that stuff is true. Yeah. But when it comes to happiness and fulfillment in life, they don't teach that. Here's what they teach. If you get if you do get good grades, you'll go to a good school, you'll get a good job, you'll get a lot of money, and then you'll be happy.
But you know what? It turns out that
not
usually
always the case.
You're not happy with all that.
Not always the case.
Get the moron of the day sent right to your phone. Text moron to 888-BOB-SHERRY, 262-7437.
I guess this happens to everyone. When it happens to you, or at least me, I always feel like I'm the only person in the world that struggles with this, but evidently I'm not. Whether I'm on the radio or just in conversation with someone, every once in a while there's a word that I'm looking for. And I know the word, but I can't quite find it.
It's on the tip of your tongue and you can't. Yeah,
and it's so frustrating. So this was really a funny thing that was on Twitter. It's forgetting basic words, experience people have when they forgot just a basic word. Not a really fancy word, but a basic word. One person said, my friend once forgot the word for what she wanted in a restaurant and tried to explain with, it's like a really wet salad. It was soup. A really wet salad.
I wouldn't have guessed soup.
I wouldn't
with
have
a wet
either.
Salad.
No. If you're the waiter, no. Another person said, I forgot the word banana. And I said, you know, it comes in its own case. It's yellow. It comes in a yellow case. I've got nothing. Maybe you could figure that out because there aren't that many foods that are yellow. But case? Another person said, my 17-year-old forgot the word full, like a, you know, F-O-A-L. And
a baby horse, a colt.
Called it a horse puppy.
Oh.
Yeah. We had a horse puppy down on the farm, which actually, you know, the words
like
horse puppy.
That's so cute.
I think it's kind of cute. I agree. Thanks to a random brain freeze, I forgot my husband's name when introducing him to the chairman of the company where I worked. I have to tell you who does that once in a while, and that would be the missus.
Forgets your name?
Yeah. She'll forget Hampton's name. And she'll forget her ex-husband's name once in a while, too, if she's got to be in contact with him for the kids or whatever. She'll be going. And so anyway, Madison was going over to, Tim? Oh, yeah, over to Tim's. Or she'll call Madison Bob, she'll call Hampton Bob, or she'll call me Finn.
Oh, I routinely call the girls by the animal names.
Do you really?
Yeah.
Oh, this is kind of a wife thing, I guess.
As a kid, for the longest time, I thought my name was Mark, Georgie, Renee, Jesus, Mary, Joseph, Sherry. Because the whole litany would go out. But sometimes I'll turn to Olivia and I'll go, Larry Munson. And she's like, Mother, I am so offended.
I never had this problem. Do you know why? I'm not good at training myself to do much of anything, but as you know, I've been married more than once, and I've dated some women.
You've drilled yourself.
And I have drilled myself never to call your woman by the wrong name, especially in certain situations. Don't ever do that.
I would never slip and call Kevin by my ex's name.
I call my girlfriend Sherry on a fairly regular basis.
Do you really?
Yes.
How does that go over?
She does.
I mean, because we spent so much time together.
We spent so much time together for years.
Yeah.
Right. So
and then
it's not
you were both you were both dating for a while there too, weren't you?
Well, I wouldn't call it dating.
That's something else. That is riotously funny.
Here's the last one that I saw on Twitter. This woman said, I'm a horticulturist, and I got my organisms and another word mixed up in front of a large group of 18-year-old boys.
Oh,
and
yeah.
And you can imagine what the other word was, right?
Yeah.
So after reading this, I felt better about myself.
Is there a name for that? I bet there's a word, a name for when something's on the tip of your tongue and you can't.
I've never heard of it.
And you can't. It'll be a German word. The Germans have all kinds of words for everything.
Oh, I know what it is. It's on the tip of my tongue. What is that word?
You know when
that's the word for when you can't get it because it's on the tip of your tongue.
When I am really, really tired, like toward the end of the week when I'm really tired because the lack of sleep accumulates and I'm super stressed out.
Right.
I can't get, it's not even like an interesting word. Right. I can't get basic stuff to come out of my mouth.
Do you know, can you give me an example? Because you are so verbal, you have such a vocabulary.
But when I'm tired and stressed out, I become like the monster in Young Frankenstein.
I've read that that's one of the first things that you will notice if you have a lack of sleep.
Yeah.
Is that you don't have quite the word power.
When I worked in fast food, we used to have that pre-closing. So what we would do is there were certain foods you couldn't get.
Right.
Right? So that's what my brain does. It goes pre-close. It goes, listen, not all of the information is accessible right now. Tomorrow morning, maybe, you'll get some of the information. You can carry on a conversation, but the rest of that's shut down for the night.
You know, that's a good way to look at it. It frees you up for not beating yourself up. I didn't know they did that in fast food. Do they really?
They did it the fast food place I went.
Certain items that they just don't want to deal with because they're closing.
Howdy, partner. Don't have that.
I'm telling you, by Friday night at about 9 o'clock, this is me. And Kevin goes, yeah, I'll get you another glass.
It's yeah.
Okay. Right.
New Bob and Sherry app. Get it now in iTunes Store or Google Play.
So I was over at the allergy doctors getting my allergy shots. They have these magazines. I forget which one it was. It might have been Real Simple, which I think we both agree nothing
never is
simple and Real Simple. And it said the average person has 10 towels. 10 towels. And I went, wow, I wonder how many we have. We don't have like 10 towels that all match, you know? I mean, I got towels that I equate to previous relationships. Seriously. Oh, yeah, this towel. This was, I remember I got this towel. You know, when I was single and young, I think I had 2 towels.
And one of them was a beach towel that said Budweiser?
No, they were both regular towels. But I think I had 2, because as a guy, you know, you just don't think about stuff like that. I had 2 towels and maybe 3 washcloths, or as my mother used to call them, wash rags. And one of them was falling apart. Then, you know, you start dating and all of a sudden you get this epiphany.
Gonna need a slightly nicer towel.
Well, at least one more.
One more, yeah. You know,
in case one's in the washer.
You know, I hadn't really thought about it until you brought this up. But I actually have towels that I use every day that were a wedding gift from my first marriage.
See?
Those were quality towels.
Those are quality towels.
I mean, I've had those damn things forever.
I know.
Can I admit to something I don't want to admit to? So I started seeing somebody and I decided if she was going to stay over, I was going to get her a nice towel set that wouldn't be part of my regular set.
Look at you.
Nice. So I bought her a nice towel set. Then things turned bad. That nice towel set became my rags. So I used that for cleaning stuff up.
And just because that, you can't use them as a
nobody else can use those ever. Right? See, would you feel good about that? No.
No.
You couldn't have anybody else use it. And I wasn't going to use them. So then they just became my rags.
Gosh, that is so sad.
It is.
That's the saddest story about a man and his towels.
No, it's sadder for her. One day you're the sun. You're everything. The next day, you're a rag wiping up grease in the garage.
They're inanimate objects. They're not real. They're not. It's
well,
not
then
like,
why can't the next like person in your life use them? Like if they're so inanimate, why can't the next person in your life use them?
They're not like Disney cartoons that are going to come to life and start singing, right?
Because Max is old-fashioned, and he doesn't believe in giving some other woman sloppy second towels. That's why. Well,
there's so much bad karma. That
was a really nice reference there.
Jeez. Those towels... There's so much evil in those towels.
Oh, is that right?
You can't wash it out.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
See what I mean?
Oh. Yeah.
But you can use it to clean things up.
Right, because
like
you don't want to waste.
Throws up. Yeah. It's okay for that.
Oh, that's bad. One day you were the light of his life. The next day it's the dog vomit.
From paging Blake Shelton, we have a song here.
Man,
I don't have company towels towels that are just for show.
Uh-huh.
But I always think back to when Jim Zocchi was first married. Sports confuse me, and he went into the bathroom and he washed his hands and he dried them on the towels and he got in trouble because those towels were just for looking at. And Jim is the kind of person that doesn't understand that. Like there's
whatever
section of the brain processes that, his is turned off.
Exactly.
He couldn't understand why we would have just looking at towels. What is the point of a towel that you're only going to look at?
Well, those go in the guest.
No, they were in the master bath, but they were just for looking at.
Oh, they were even in the master bath? Oh,
yeah.
No.
And he wasn't allowed to use them.
Who's coming into the master bath? See, I'm with Jim.
His wife, and she wants it to look nice.
Yeah.
Of course, now that they have that untrainable dog, I know what those towels are being used for.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
I got some rags for him.
Yeah, two towels. That's all I had back then.
Huh? Yeah, and only one body. Yeah. So it was working for you while you were alone.
So. I had three wash rags.
Hey, thank you so much for listening to the Bob and Sherry podcast and the Bob and Sherry Oddcast. We would love if you would subscribe, rate and review, and share it with a friend on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, wherever you go. And thank you again for listening.